Each one. Few people listen, but the Lord bless those that came along the night. And just an announcement, I forgot to say this morning. Brother Andrew Beecham will be coming on the 22nd of May. The weekend of the 22nd of May, from Friday to Monday, to preach for us that weekend. So pray for Brother Andrew as he comes, pray for the meetings. And I was trying to get him to come at Easter, but he couldn't come at Easter. He was already invited. And Frank couldn't come at Easter. And I've been trying to get Frank, but Frank's hard to get to come with different things happening. But Brother Andrew's going to be coming on the 22nd of May, so pray for the meetings and remember those meetings. Praise God. Let's turn tonight till Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, and I know these are familiar scriptures, familiar readings, but it won't do us any harm to hear it again. Amen. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Luke 17, then, verse 26, one verse. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the days of the Son of Man be. Let's bow our heads tonight, praise God. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord and we will remind you in prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight that we can come again and gather in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can come here. We have this opportunity and freedom to come and freedom to preach. Lord, we just pray you'll cover us with your blood and fill us afresh your Holy Spirit. And I do take the Holy Ghost afresh tonight to help me. And I thank you that you will. And I pray you'll bless your word to our hearts and speak to us again from your word. And Lord, you see every hand that's raised tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll meet every single need for every individual in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to ask it. Pray again for Colin that you'll touch his arm and bless him. And Lord, that the clot will go, that any other ailments will go, and that he'll get well and bless Lydia and the children. Cover them with your blood, Lord Jesus. And Father, for other mothers and fathers, perhaps that couldn't be here tonight, bless them, be with them. For those that need your touch, heal them, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And pray again for the backslidden. You restore them and renew them and bring them back to yourself and add to your work such as should be saved. And Lord, for those that's here, bless and touch them and minister unto each one of us tonight. Help us, Lord, we pray. And Father, as Andrew prepares to come as well from England, pray you'll bless him, strengthen him, give him the words to speak and prepare him as he comes and prepare us, our hearts, Lord, to receive from you. And I pray, Lord, for Keith and Ann as they go out to Germany today. I pray you'll bless them. I pray you'll use them. I pray you'll speak through them at that where they're going. And Lord, that you'll have your way. And for those in authority in this land, and Lord, for Trump and for Israel and all those in authority, pray for your wisdom, your guidance. At this time, Lord Jesus, bless your people, Israel, and Lord, for our nurses here and doctors over the country at this time, bless and strengthen them, we pray, and just have your way in our lives as we commit ourselves afresh to you and pray tonight you'll be in the service and just speak to our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I'm sure everyone knows, but they're doing a protest here on Tuesday, and you know there's 80% on the fuel. I checked it today because I thought that couldn't be right, but it is right. It is right. We counted up, it's 50 point something, then there's VAT on it, something else on it. So if your fuel at the minute is 184.5 over and go there, the government's taking 85 pence of that straight away. So it's only a pound. They're getting the rest. So even though there's a crisis, what they want to call a crisis, now a lot of the fuel was in the country before the crisis started, but it still went up anyhow. They jumped on the bandwagon, as we would say here. But look, the whole thing's a joke. And I don't know what's going to happen. You come down the roads, and if you have nice wheels in your car, they're smashed because of the potholes. You'd need a tractor or something for the roads now. It's getting like Africa. When I first went out to Zimbabwe, third world country they call it, I'm telling you, in Africa, the roads were terrible. And they drove like Egypt. We have that here as well, but anyhow, but you know, it's bad, isn't it? It's bad. And I, you know, that's the way of things. We're coming to the end, I believe. The Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. Tonight I want to preach shut in or shut out. Had an awful bad spelling mistake on the internet. My wife's still laughing. But anyway, I was crying. She was laughing. I'm joking, but it can happen. You know, all these new phones, they spell for you, but sometimes they don't spell what you want them to spell. They have already spelled out. If you hit the button too quick, you could send the wrong message. Praise God. Or you could read the wrong message. But praise God. The Bible's the right message, isn't it? Amen. Amen. We know Noah was a different man. In the days of Noah, Noah was a different man from all those that lived in his time. For the grace of God made a division between Noah and everybody else. And we know in that generation, in that day, in that age, in that dispensation, it's called Antediluvian dispensation, they had forgot God. They didn't want to know God. And Noah feared God. He lived for the things of God. He feared God. He obeyed God. He lived in the sight of the invisible God, and he heard the voice of God. The 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15 to 16 says this, "For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, and them that are saved, and the them that are perish. To the one we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" So the message separates to life, and it separates to death, and we see it in the ark of Noah built. The ark saved, and the ark also kept others from salvation, because they never entered it. So those that went in were sealed in, and those that were out were sealed out. And there was no in-between ground. And there's no in-between ground tonight. You're either in Christ Jesus, and you're saved and born again, and you're on your way to heaven, or else you're outside of Christ. And if you're outside of Christ, you're lost and on your way to hell. And that's the straightness of the message. Now, we know Paul said in the last days, like Noah's days, that he didn't even want, the people wouldn't even want to retain God and their knowledge. And we are living in that generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, we know in the 20th century, we saw the Son of Man ministry displayed. We saw it. There's no question about it. It's happened. We're not looking for it. We've seen it. And yet, even in the midst of that, they want to disprove the things of God. They don't want to believe God. And look at our schools today across the world. They don't want God in the schools no more. They want the Bible out of the school. They want prayer out of the school. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Romans 1 and 28 tells us, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient." Now you know that's homosexuality, because when you read the rest of Romans, that's what he's talking about. And God gives them over to do them things. And if you say to people today that it's wrong, they'll go down your throat sideways. They don't want to hear. They want to tell us that they're born like that and they can't change it. Well, if you have a revolver tonight, you can shoot somebody or not shoot them. But you were not born like that to do it. All of us are born in sin, shaping iniquity, but we have a free will and we have a choice. And there is male or female. There's no in between. God made us either male or female. And I tell you, but people don't want that today. And once you take a stand for the truth, they don't want it, but God gives them over. Many will never be saved. God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do that things which are not convenient. And they're doing it. And the world loves it. Remember that tonight. The world loves it. And if they go on a singing show where it's X Factor, one of these shows, if they're a homosexual, you might as well give them the prize at the start, because they'll win it. Because everybody's afraid not to vote for them and not speak up for them. And they'll go out of their way, bend over backwards to praise them. And the politicians as well here in Northern Ireland, they're doing the same. The LG, I don't even know all the letters of it, and I don't want to know them. But they're homosexuals. That's the community they are. The Sodomite community. It's what the Bible would call it in Genesis. And that's what it was in the days of Lot. And you know, in the days of Lot and the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. That's the Bible. And we're living in them days. And God sent his angel messengers down into Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were like men, but they were angels of the Lord. And they looked upon them and they wanted to know them. Now, you know, that doesn't mean they wanted to know their name or anything like that. That was known. What we're talking about in Romans here tonight. And those angels pulled no in the house. And they smote them a blindness. And they groped about. And a prophet of God prophesied in the 20th century. He said the true end time message will blind them. And they'll be groping about in the darkness. And that's exactly what's happened. There's a lot of people today claiming religionity, but they're groping about in the darkness. And they're dwelling among the tombs. That's where they are. They're in the tombs. And the tomb is only for the dead. But when you're risen from the dead in Christ, you're alive. Now, let me read you this. The two spirits, one of them God's Holy Spirit, the other one the devil's spirit, working in deception. And the people of the earth are now making their choice. The Holy Spirit is here calling a bride for Christ. He's doing it by vindicating his word of promise to her. And we saw this morning when we preached the true gospel in the book of Acts, how that God vindicated it, that God done it. And if we preach the truth today, it's up to God to do it. We can't do it. If God doesn't come down and vindicate it, show me a man that he'll do it. Pull it out of the hat, as it were. It will not happen. It has to be of God. But God's done it. God has done it. He's doing it, vindicating the word, the promise, this age, showing that it's Christ. If the finger's supposed to move in this age, the finger will move. If the foot's supposed to move, it'll move. And right on down, the Spirit of God has grown into the full stature of God. It's the age now living, and the Holy Spirit's here vindicating the message of the hour. And the message of the hour should not be a denomination or a movement. It should be the gospel. That's the real message of the hour. Preaching the truth, the true original gospel. That's the real message of the hour. It's not worshiping another man either. It speaks preaching Christ. You see, the devil's own Holy Spirit is calling his church by error. As usual, by perversion of the word of God. Like he did at the beginning. See, it's coming right back to that seed time again in Eden. And that's from the God of this evil age. And I tell you, there's perversion on every side. Now, when he built the ark, he was in the miserable minority. As men count heads. Now, I know I've said this before and I'm saying it again. Numbers does not qualify for a move of God. This hall could be filled tonight. I wish it was full. I'm not saying we don't want people. Understand me. But I'm telling you now, of course a place is filled doesn't mean that's God. Sure, you could go to a dance and it's full. The devil will be in it. Not God. Look at the chapel here on a Sunday morning. There's some Sundays we can't even get in these gates. The cars are lying both sides of the street. And what they're listening is false. Let's be honest about it. It's not the real gospel. It's not the real truth. It's false teaching. And the man in the front's a hypocrite. He's twofold the child of hell to the ones he's preaching to. Because he's telling them he can forgive their sins in a wee box and he can't. It's the blind leading the blind. They both fall on the head. That's what the Bible says. And he looks to the Pope of Rome. The head of their movement. But the head of our movement's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the head of the true church. And he's our priest, our high priest and prophet. But you see, 120 years and his ministry was built and his family entered it. And there was eight. Eight against millions. An insignificant few men and women. Who could ever imagine the eight would be right and the millions wrong? And I tell you, people think today because everybody goes for it, it has to be right. It has to be right. But Noah was preaching a message and nobody went for it. Nobody at all went for it. Only his immediate family went for it. Ye and your house shall be saved. None of the rest of them went for it. But yet Noah's message was right. And all their other philosophies was absolutely wrong. But how could you ever imagine and remember even that there was a great difference between the eight and the millions? There was no gulf between them at the start. There was an open way where they could come and believe the message, Noah's message. Matthew 24, 37 and 42. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I believe this is twofold. It's not just the ministry of the Son of Man, but I believe it's the Lord coming again. Amen. And verse 40 says, then shall two be in the field. That's why I believe it. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. What's there for if you know not, or when your Lord doth come? So there is a secret coming of the Lord. And as many a denomination tonight don't believe that. And they try to preach the second coming as the secret coming. Understand what I'm saying here. There is a rapture. The rapture is between the first and second coming. The second coming is when we come back with the Lord and stand on the Mount of Olives. That's really the second coming. But there is a coming of the Lord in the sense that we meet him in the air and we go up to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the rapture of the church, the catching away that many people describe. They don't believe it. They don't want to hear about it. But we believe it. And the Lord Jesus warns us here. What's therefore if you know not what hour your Lord doth come? And I tell you, isn't it something? You get a people in the same household, some that's ready and some that's not. And the ones that's ready are took out and the other ones are left there. You just think of it. In the morning, the saved and the true believers is gone and the rest are left. And I have family of my own, and I want to see them saved. And your family, and you want to see them saved. And I tell you, that's why we need to have an earnest desire to pray them in and to see them saved. I know they're saved, they're going to come. But God still should burden us because he burdened Abraham. And we're Abraham's seed, royal seed. And we have to be like Abraham because we're the royal seed of Abraham. And God put a burden in Abraham. And I know he was a type of Christ as well. But Abraham said, Lord, if there's 40. And he bid of a God and he pleaded with God. And we need to be praying and pleading with the Lord for our families, that they'll come in and they'll get saved. And you know, Paul talks about it in his writings. When we are marrying, and the unsaved and the saved, and how do you know they're going to come? That's why a believer should marry a believer. And a young girl that's saved should have should never even think of going with a man that's not saved and born again. And vice versa. They must be both saved. They must be serving the Lord. Light cannot fellowship with darkness. That's the way it's meant to be. Amen. And I tell you, how do you know they're going to come? Paul says it. And we believe Paul. But it's going to be a sad day. I tell you, I have children, I want to see them saved. But just think of the rapture took place, you're gone, and some of your children's left behind. Now when I say children, they're grown. But they're still our children, aren't they? They're always our children. May God bring us on to our knees to pray for them. And I mean that. I really mean it. Because who else will pray for them? And I tell you, it's not hard to give them a good redding up. Did you see what he done or she done? See all that there? You want to hit that all in the head? There's no point redding up what she or he done. The world will do enough of that. We don't need to start either. We need to pray. We were no better than them. No matter how low they go, we were no better than them. We were as big and dark as sinners as they're ever going to be. And thank God Christ died for sinners and he can save them. Amen. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. 120 years God's Spirit moved. But then God comes on the scene and God says, my Spirit will not always thrive a man. And you know that this Gentile dispensation we're in is coming to the close. You know that? And God has promised in this book that he will turn back to the Jews. And he will rapture his bride out and he'll turn back to them Jews. And God is finished with the dealing with the Gentiles. And he turns back to deal with them Jews. And the messengers, Moses and Elijah, come to them and preach to them. And we're going. We're caught out. Caught up. And we go to be with the Lord. Revelation 3 and 7 and says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." And I tell you, that door of that ark was open. There was a way made into that ark. That way was plain. That way was clear. That way was for the whosoever will may come. But there come a time when God closed that door down. Praise God. Now I'm going to have to go on. I haven't even got to my first point yet. Not that it's important. But I don't want to keep you too long Sunday night. Let me get to it. First of all, let us think of the shut of been shut in. Noah was shut in. Shut in the ark. Noah's condition as to an evil world was one of separation. He was severed from the world and separation was beyond recall. Noah could not go back out. Noah was closed in. Noah didn't close the door. God closed the door. I know that many thought Noah closed it, but God, Noah did not close it. That door was closed and that ark never moved for 7 days. That ark sat in the same place for 7 days and Noah preached a message that rain was going to come. Many, many years ago, I never heard it. My father told me about it. I think they used to have a record of it. And I had records that Sharon's granda gave me. I probably had them somewhere, preaching records. There's demons been cast out in some of them in one of A. Allen's meetings of these records I have. But A. Allen on the records, he beats the microphone with his fingers, imitating the rain. And he preaches about the rain. And I tell you, the conviction of God was coming in the meetings. And the rain came. And all the scientists that we've listened to the garbage in our age. And we haven't believed the Bible because the Bible says, "Believe not the scientists, so foolishly called." How many people now are needing medical attention because of these COVID injections? That the people was brainwashed to take. Oh, you'll have to get it. You'll not be fit to do a thing if you don't get it. I remember one night up in the town here, and this man says to me, "Have you got the injection?" I said, "What injection?" And he told me all about the injection. And I said, "I haven't got it and I'm not taking it." And he says, "Oh." And he run away from me. And he said, "You're hiring the rest of us all back. You're hiring the rest of us all back. There they are with a mask over their face and they can't half breathe. I'm going about like Darth Vader." And I'll tell you, it's a joke, but there's something behind it because it's a spirit. And the devil put a spirit over the country. And I am so sad that I never broke every rule and held the meetings and had no closing down at all. Oh, but people were toxic. The Amish community never closed. And they said, "Let whatever it is spread and we'll deal with it. And God will bring us through it." And then once they had it and got it, that was it. They were over it. And they were the better for it. And I tell you, people claim we're great faith, we're great Christians. But they fell. They went under it. They went under it like that. And the devil gave them a foretaste of the mark of the beast coming in. And they run to get it. They couldn't get it quick enough. And boy, you get parked up in your car and you could drive in and all the garbage that come with it. And you say, "Brother Thomas, terrible." No, it's the truth. I know people. I know a woman. And her husband found her near dead. And he had to lift her in his own vehicle and they couldn't get an ambulance. They couldn't get this. They couldn't get that. And 4 hours of telling him she'd have been dead if he hadn't got her in the car. And he's a big lump of a man. He got her out into the vehicle. He got her to the hospital. And she still almost died. Now tonight that woman's living, but she's on kidney dialysis. You say that's nothing to do with COVID injection. I heard it everywhere. He tells me he blames it. That's her husband. Many other people that see him, children affected, the babies aborted, so many different things happening, pointing to COVID. But there'll never be a proper investigation. Never the same as the IRA in this country. They never. What about that one we had the other day? He was never in the IRA. The lies. And there was lies with the COVID. But one day God will pull the blanket of it all. And it'll be like watching the television program. You'll see it all. I tell you here, Noah was closed in. But you see, they had sciences in them days. Perhaps greater Brother Branham said, and we have the day. And they were fit to say, it's never rained before, it won't rain this time. But the problem is, God told his prophet Noah, it's going to rain. And my Bible says, believe my prophets, and so shall ye prosper. Amen. And God's word always comes to the prophet of God. And it came to Noah, being a prophet. And he spoke it, and few believed it. And there's the words of Jesus again. A prophet's no honor, save in his own country. People say, send us a great prophet to do this. Wouldn't matter if God done it. God could send the best man you want. But they would be familiar with him, they wouldn't need him after a bit. They'd folly nonsense before they'd folly the real thing. They did it here, they'll do it again. Listen to this. Message called the ark. Noah, when he came in, that's the only thing he had to do. That's the only thing he had to do. Was walk in. God shut the door. And he was safely until the judgment had passed. God done the shutting. God done the opening. That's the believer today in Christ Jesus. It's God that brings us in. And doesn't Ephesians tell us we are sealed by the Holy Spirit onto the day of redemption? When you're truly saved and born again, you cannot and will not ever be lost. Anybody that preaches you're lost after you're saved, they're false. It's false teaching. How could God lost when he saved? Oh, but they're not living right. And then in the saved but works. Because if they're getting saved by works, then it's not the grace of God. It's by works. But the Bible says we're saved by grace. Now, we don't live like the devil. Because we love the Lord and we'll serve him. But we're not saved by works. Galatians 3:3 says, for you're dead. And your life is with God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Dead. Dead from the things of the world. Our lives with Christ and God. Hidden beyond further damage or death, they are henceforth kept by the power of God unto salvation. It's God that kept us. How many times would we have fallen? How many times would we have said, I'll tell you what, I'll get out of the meeting this morning, I'll never be back. Now, you know, I tell you, my father told me when he done it. He was preaching, he was in the ministry, he was praying for the sick and seeing miracles. And one morning he got up and he got out and he says, I'll never be back. And he says, Tommy, it's the worst mistake I ever made. Saying, I'll never be back. And that's what the devil wants. And I'll tell you what, he wants you that you'll never be back. And he'll get you to sit at home and go nowhere. Then you'll not be lost. You're still saved. But you'll be backslid. Then when he gets you to that point, you'll not be fit to pray after a while. And he'll have you at the point where you can't pray. And when you go to pray, the devil will talk to you. And he'll say, how could you pray? Sure, you're not going to church. You're not living right. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And there comes Revelation. He's an accuser of the brethren. Well, I know all about it. I know what I'm preaching about. I was saved, and I was genuinely saved as a young man. But I backslid. And I got drunk. Going to Murderbank Reefs at Port Rush, I got drunk, and I mean drunk. Couldn't stand my feet, absolutely drunk out of my head. And the devil never waited till I sobered, and he never waited till I got home.
But all I could hear in my ears is, you're not saved, you're drunk. And I agreed with him. And I want to tell you, I agreed with him. And he laid the whip on me and I broke it for him. I cut it out to the hedge and I handed it to him. I gave him it. And he beat me with it. And that was my downfall. And then I went from the drinking to worse things in drinking. And it went on and on till it multiplied. And then it went from there to where he told me, nobody loves you. You'd be better killing yourself. Nobody loves you. And that's how he starts out. The depression sets in. The old demons go round you like bulls of Bashan, talking to you. And God comes trying to talk to you and you've no time for it. You've no time for the things of God. You've no time to hear from the word of God or anything. And if you see a man of God, you'd hide from him. I know all about it. But I thank God for that voice. That voice never came and said, Tommy, you're an awful bad lad. Never said that. When Jesus stopped with a woman at the well, he never took to her and cut stripes out of her and said to her, now I'll tell you what, you've had five husbands and you're a powerful bad person and this and that and that. He never done any of that work. Said to her, I have water that you need to get a drink of and you'll never thirst again. The Lord changed her. But the devil wants to kill us. So now I'm preaching the truth tonight. That's how he works. And so many young ones today, listen, young people, it's great you're in service and you're with the Lord. There's young people out there tonight and they're going through it and they've become suicidal and the parents don't know what's going on. And the drugs and stuff that's going about. It's so good to be saved and in Christ. Hidden beyond further damage or death. Galatians 6:14 says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. When you're really saved, you don't want the things of the world. You don't want the drink. You don't want the drugs. You don't want nothing to do with the world. You want Christ. I could leave this meeting tonight and go down to a pub and get full if I want. But I have no interest in it. None whatsoever. I tell you, there's countries, and my son's in one of them, and their culture's drinking. And Australia's the same. New Zealand and Australia, their culture's drinking. And I tell you, there's a lot of people get into it, and they start out with a wee social drink, and that wee social drink grows to where they become drunk. And once you start to get to the stage where you're drunk, you're cutting the stick for the devil. And he'll give you the touch with. You'll not need to show him how to do it. He'll do it on you. It's the same Abraham. He'll come on you. But may the Lord help us. This door was shut. The Lord shut him in. There was no wish. There was no heart to come out. You see, there's some people come in for a season, but they want to go back out. You say, Brother Tom, is it really? Lot's wife, she's one. Lot's wife came out and she was told, don't even look back. If you look back, you will turn to a pillar of salt. But you look back and the Bible warns us, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. But when the mommy should have stayed there, done this or done that, you need to look forward, not back. Can't look back. There's no wishing, no heart to come out. And he couldn't come out. The deed was done. He couldn't undo it. The bolt was turned. It couldn't be undrawn. Noah was shut in by a hand, which was it's not given to undo the work that's done. He says, I'll perfect it in you. Perfect it in you. It is Christ that will finish the work in his people. We need to get away with the idea, we'll do it. We'll not do it. It's Christ that does it. That's why we need to yield to him. Everyone that can say there are true believers, dead unto the world, are shut in with God. They may have said Noah was entered in the coffin. He's as good as a dead and buried. Look at that from a message called The Court Trial. You know, one day they come up to laugh at me and the door was shut. This is Noah. They said, well, that old fanatic went out there and shut the door, I suppose, but I heard them. But I told them God shut the door. No doubt that the rain will fall today. That'll be it. The first day passed by, there was no rain then, really scoffed at me, telling me God shut the door. I don't believe such stuff as that. Noah shut the door himself. Him and his son, see, scoffers, unbelievers, skeptic. All right, it went on for a while, but on May the 17th, one morning, it rained. And it absolutely destroyed all those people that was put to the test against the word of God. Remember that saying? They were put to the test against the word of God. And 2,000 years ago, they were put to the test against the word of God. And they said, crucify him and release Barabbas. And a prophet of God preached a sermon, the second crucifixion of Jesus. And you say, what's the second crucifixion of Jesus? Because they're against the word. And this age again, they're put to the test again. Either they take the word or reject the word. And if you take the word, it's life. If you reject, it's death. And how many don't want the word tonight? They reject it. They don't want to hear it. Close their ears up. I know a man, and most of you in here know him. I'm not going to name him. He's turned into a recluse now. But I want to tell you, I give him the tapes of William Branham. Several of them. And they were good messages. And I used to play them in the tractor and when I driven it where I worked. And in my cars going, the old tape, cassette tapes, I used to have a lot of them. Ron Borthwick sent them over to us in the shoebox. To Desi Newell, in the first box he sent, somebody stole it. And he sent another shoebox full. Then Sister Deirdre gave me a duplicate machine. And I duplicated and recorded hundreds and hundreds of tapes. Brother Branham. But I gave them to this man. And he took them and he listened to them and he brought them back. And he said, get that away from me. I wouldn't have any time to hear that. It's just a bit of shouting. And you see, some people say it's just a bit of shouting. And there's nothing to it. But the true eagle says, here, tell you what, I got eagle food there. I got eagle food. But everybody's not an eagle. And everybody can't handle eagle's food. But I tell you, it was eagle's food all right. Amen? And I tell you, that man turned it down. Now, I don't know where God will give him a chance again. I'm not God. I don't know. He might not give him another one. Does he deserve another one? How many chances does people deserve? When you have told someone the truth, I think it's four times. The Bible says refrain from them. You know, there's no obligation to tell them again. If I preach the truth to people and they don't receive it, the Bible says my hands is clean. The blood's not on them. Watchman's done the job. How many times do they have to hear it? It's only God and his mercy. That's why we need to ask for God's mercy for people. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 to 8. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as it were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters, in the water. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heaven and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment of the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, being not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God flooded this world, but she's going to be burnt the next time. Burnt with fire. Luke also how Peter typed the ark flood to the baptism in 1 Peter 3, 20-21. You can read it at home. I'm not going to take time to read it tonight. Right on down, he refers to it. You see, it was a type. Look at Luke 17, 32. I've already mentioned it. Remember Lot's wife? Lot's wife looked back, turned her pillar south. We mustn't look back to the waste and the ruins, but upward and onward to the city of God, which are foundations. Second, here's my last thought tonight, and I'm closing. I want us to think of it shut in. Shut out, sorry. Noah was shut in, but what about shut out? Luke 3:25, when once the master of the house has risen up and have shut to the door. And ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. There's a time coming when the door's closed. I'm thinking tonight, you know, I'm laughing. I closed the meeting hall door one time. I locked her. There was a few people who were shut out. They fell out of them for a day or two after. I closed her. At a certain time, they weren't here and I closed the door. When we were in the schoolhouse. There's a few people who fell out of me over it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. This here's serious. God's a door that he's closing. Now I've opened the door again. I'm only a man. Maybe I shouldn't have shut it. Maybe I should have shut it. That'll be down to the individual's choice in that. Like the man says, I'll leave that one with you. But I'll tell you one thing. You see this door that God's closing, there's no opening her. That's the serious thing about it. I'll come late and say to God, I'll tell you what I think I'll come now. It'll be too late. I think I'll get saved when I'm older. I might not ever get the chance. I think I'll do it tomorrow. I mightn't get the chance. In our case, they could come back the next week and they mightn't have shut her. But this case here, she's closing, that's it. Matthew 25, verse 10, 13. And while they went to buy the bridegroom, come and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. What's there for? If you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. 2 Timothy 3, 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a lot of people and they hedge about it. They hedge about it and they hedge about it. And they're close, but they never get fully persuaded. Let's stand our feet this evening. It's more, but I'm going to close. Didn't Paul, wasn't it King Agrippa? Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. But you don't read of him being persuaded. What about Ian Paisley? Ian Paisley was sent to visit a man. I can't remember the man's name, but the man he went to see was sleeping. And I don't remember his name, but there's another man of the same name in the hospital. And he went to him. And the man that he wasn't meant to see, that he seen, got saved. And the other boy didn't. And I'm telling you, how many chances does people get? God raised people up that was dying and sick, and God raised them up, and they weren't saved. And he gave them another chance, and he spoke to them. And how many times did he speak to them, and still, what do they do with it? What are they going to do with it? It's an awful thing. We need to be praying. Why do we need to pray that God will speak again? Why? Because our God's merciful. And we want to have his heart. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Even though God has spoken to them. And we know that. And we can say that's it. But can we not be like the Lord and say, Lord, speak again. Have mercy again, Lord. Speak again. Move again. Do it again, Lord. Let's come and close our eyes tonight. And if anyone wants prayer for anyone,
Maybe they're not even here, but you want to pray. I'll pray for them. Lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And I want to pray for your children, and I want you to pray for my children. I want to see them saved. I want to see them coming in. Now look, see that man I give them tapes to. I still pray God will save them. I don't want them to be lost. I want God to save them. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for the word of truth. Father, we pray especially tonight for those that's near and dear to us and those that we've mentioned. You know who they are. Lord, will you speak to them again? Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, we think of the words you said on the cross. What a testimony. They plucked your beard out, beat a crown of thorns into your head, battered your face and bruised you, spit it on you. Your back was tore like a ploughed field, your hair cut off, and your flesh peeled from your shoulders down over your buttocks. There you were naked on the cross, and there the man that done it was there. You looked up and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Lord, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine's the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Heavenly Father, move on our children, we pray, our sons or daughters, the husband, the wife, the aunt, the uncle, those that people's raised their hands to remember tonight. Lord, you know who they are. Speak to them again. Oh, Holy Spirit, go, we pray, and move in their hearts and move in their lives. Overrule the enemy. Rebuke them from them. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we plead your precious blood on all of them tonight, on every son and every daughter, every husband, every wife. Lord, we plead your blood upon them tonight, and we pray that the voice of the blood will speak to them, Lord, and draw them to yourself. Help us to live a life worthy of the gospel before them. Lord, let us be stumbling blocks to them, but help us live a life that they can see you in us, Lord. Let Christ still be in us, the hope of glory. Father, I thank you this evening for your people in this room. Pray you'll bless them. I pray you'll strengthen them. Pray you'll do them good. Lord Jesus, for those in power and authority, give them wisdom at this time for what's going to take place in the country and in the land, across the world. Lord, we come in and all to you, for we know that we're not of this world, but we're of another kingdom, and you're coming again for your people. Lord, ere the rapture take place, may the circle be unbroken, and may our loved ones come in and get saved. Grant it tonight, I pray, and bless your people tonight as they go their different ways, and Lord, to work or wherever places are going, just cover them with your precious blood, and this week, cover them with your precious blood. Bless and prosper. In Jesus' precious name, and Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Keep us as the apple of your eye. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Praise God. We'll be back Thursday night, the Lord willing. And just remember Tuesday, if you're traveling, I don't know what all's happening. I think they're blocking the roads at 12 o'clock. It will affect a lot of people, so maybe if you hear any more about it, you can post it up or something. But God bless you, and hopefully we'll get the resolution soon. The real resolutions will get out. But I want to see my family saved before I go. God bless you.
Can we sing that little chorus? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him.
To be like Jesus.
Johnny, could you close in prayer for us?
Lord Jesus, we give you thanks again tonight for the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless it. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll keep us watching and waiting for your coming.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, we know that you're coming soon. And Lord, I pray that every one of us and all of our loved ones will be ready and waiting for that day.
Yes,
and Lord, I just pray that you'll bless your people. Lord, bless the singing. Lord, just meet every need here, Lord, whatever the needs would be, you know, the needs of your people, Lord. I pray that you'll meet their need for them now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, keep us safe this week, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the meetings that lay ahead of whoever we preach, Lord. I pray that you'll anoint them with your
yes.
Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And you continue to feed your sheep in Jesus' name. And Lord, just meet every need now. Keep us safe. Lead us to our homes and safety. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you as you go then. See you, Lord willing, on Thursday evening. When I think